on every Muslim to pay your bills. So if you are not paying your debts, brothers and sisters, don't make hajj with money that you should use to pay your debts. Now, this is what I would like to do, caution you against making hajj in the wrong spirit and in the wrong way. But those who are able, who have their debts caught up, who are managing their debts, you have nobody threatening you about paying them their money, you know that you have a good record. Maybe bills are due. All of us are going to have bills due. But you are taking care of those bills. You are handling your bills. If that's the case, and you can afford to make hajj, and you want to make hajj, then I have nothing for you but strong encouragement. Make the hajj. Even if you don't know anything about hajj, when you get there, we'll see. We'll come make contacts over there, and we'll see that you have some guy to go along with you. You see. But don't think you're going on a picnic. Hajj is not a picnic. Hajj is not a plaything. Hajj is a very serious thing. Very serious. It's one of the five pillars of Islam, one of the five duties on a Muslim, and every Muslim should work to make hajj at least once in his lifetime before he passes, if he is able to do so. But don't think you're going over there to have fun or to have a vacation. Hajj is no vacation. Those who go should have the love in their heart for Almighty God Allah. You should love what the prophets of God that Allah has been mentioning. You should love, have strong love in your heart for Prophet Muhammad, who brought the Holy Quran 1400 years ago. You have to have strong love in your heart for that prophet. If you have strong love in your heart for the Prophet Muhammad, the universal prophet, last and universal prophet, then your trip will be a joyful, wonderful trip. Because you won't be making that trip for your own personal enjoyment. You will be making that trip to please Allah. You'll be making the trip to please Allah and to pay respect, tribute to the sacred things that we hold, to the things that we hold sacred, and especially to the Holy Prophet Muhammad. Because every Muslim who makes hajj is expected to go to Medina after completing the rituals there in Mecca and visit the house of Prophet Muhammad, where he and his wife Asia and where his companion is there right now buried, and the beautiful mosque, the mosque of Prophet Muhammad in Medina, is the most beautiful mosque. The atmosphere there is so quieting and so wonderful. And being near where his grave is there, if you're a believer, it just, I'm telling you, it fills you up. It fills you up. You really become full emotionally. When I visited, I felt so full emotionally when I had made the hajj and saw and understood the history. That's why I say it's necessary to know something about it. When you know something about the history, you can get more out of the hajj, the pilgrimage. I knew the struggles of Prophet Muhammad. I knew what he had, the sacrifices, the great sacrifices he made. I knew the purity of his heart and his mind. I knew how he excelled all of those before his time in so many areas. And seeing that man go out, face the whole world by himself, and struggle to make Islam come to life in pagan Arabia, and how he walked high up in a mountain and went up there just to be to himself, to think on God and to beg God for guidance so he can see what to do about the conditions in the world. Knowing all this, I got much out of the trip. Much out of the trip, you see. When I visited where the Prophet Muhammad is buried, peace be upon him, it just filled me up. Filled me up. So you can have this same wonderful experience if you will get more knowledge. So don't sit around. Go down to Brother Kazi. He has a bookstore down there on Wells, North Wells. You can get the address from the Minister of Education here. He has a bookstore down there, and I'm sure he has very say to those believers who hope to make the Hajj this time that if you will send in your names to us, indicating that you are going to make the Hajj, this is your intention, then we will give your name to the Hajj Reception Committee at Mecca, so that when you get there, there will be someone to inquire of your arrival and to see that you have a guide to guide you on the tour, on the Hajj ritual, through the Hajj ritual. Thank you. Allahu Akbar. Now we have called this holdover meeting for the purpose of nominating and putting persons into office over two units. And I will quickly name the units that we have that are working in the community that we consider not to be a direct or a part of the, a direct part of the MOF administration. They are related to or affiliated with, are directly related to the MOF administration, but they don't come directly under the MOF administration. They're looked upon as independent offices or entities, and they will be held accountable for their activities and whatever MOF supervision they will get will be given as advice or service. Advice or service. They'll be trusted to run their own office. And if they fail to meet our requirements, if they conduct themselves in a way that will not allow us to support them, then we will bring this to their attention. And if we don't get them to respect our wishes, we will expose them and deny them support, our support. So we don't have to have control, direct control over everything. If we don't like a thing, we shouldn't support it. Is that right? All right. And if we don't support it, then we are clear. Whatever happens to our head for, there's no responsibility of ours. There's no fault of ours. And if we so choose, we can act against them, as we act against anything that threatens us. Is that right? So we will support them as long as they are worthy of our support. And when they are not worthy, we will pull away our support. And when they become a threat, we will deal with them as a threat. Let me go quickly to these units. We have many announcements, but brothers and sisters, I know some of you are crying. I hear you crying. I can almost feel those red tears that's not really touching your face, but they're there. I know it's hard to sit down like that. You know, it's a very hard discipline you're going through. And I believe me, I have sympathy for you. I feel for you. So we are going to not try to do everything. We're going to try to do as much as possible, get some important things, and things that we can't take care of in the next 45 minutes, we're going to leave. I think you've been struggling. You can suffer for another 45 minutes? All right, we'll make it. Hope to do it in much less than that. Now, we have established bodies and departments and charged them with duties and responsibilities so that the general body can get more benefit from the leadership of the Nation of Islam and from the departments and offices and services and everything that the Nation of Islam has to offer. I won't go through this material. I'll just announce one organizing effort in my immediate department, that's in the Department of the Ministry. We have organized the ministry as a body to serve the community. Those belonging to this board are body as representatives Bowles is here. I would like him to stand. Please stand. He's my former school teacher and a man that I greatly admire. Minister James DeBars, he will be convener of the National Ministry Board. He will take care of matters such as ceremonial matters and also Quranic verses. Minister Anita Aquam, is she here? Will she stand, please? Will you stand so the general body can see you? Yes, here, right here. All praise due to Allah, another wonderful addition. And she will relate to such matters as community relations, mosque leadership, to mosque membership relations, and mosque community relations to outside public community relations. So we have a very good sister who's sensitive, who's proven to me that she's very sensitive to the needs of the people and the community. So we have her there to watch over these things. We have Dr. Naeem Akbar, special assistant, special aide, and assistant to me. He will be responsible for relating to such matters as the contextual meaning of the teaching, moral and spiritual direction, national policy, judgment on office holders. This man is an outstanding person in the field of clinical psychiatry. He's well-read in general psychiatry, and the Black Organization of Psychiatry, of a clinical psychiatrist, they really honor and respect Dr. Naeem Akbar. I heard a case, and believe me, they applaud him. You would think that they were Muslims in the mosque. And he be teaching Islam, I'm telling you. We have Minister Nasser Ahmed, the young minister. Most of us know him, but I wish he would stand. Where is he? Can he present himself? Minister Nasser Ahmed, is he anywhere where he can be seen? He's out of town. He's a busy minister. Busy minister. But very, very active and very good, especially relating to human beings. He'll be on the board. To inform the ministerial body or the ministry here of outer community activities on the part of the ministry. And also to serve as a consultant to the body of ministers making up the board, national board. Regional minister who is in charge of administration, the administrative duties in the ministry. He's over the region, Midwest region here, and he's also in charge of administrative duties of ministers throughout the nation and outside of the nation, the United States. Minister Kareem Abdulaziz, you know him, but do you please stand? A strong, very valuable addition to the ministry. The administrative duties, he will be dealing with such matters as administrative duties, the Zakat fund, that's the charity fund, disreputable conduct of believers, community issues requiring answers or dispositions, and out-of-country ministerial work. He will be relating to all such matters. So that completes the Board of Ministers, and later you will be given the office, department, our office, and the services that that office, the specific sort of services that that office hold out to believers or to the general community, in a newsletter or memo, you'll receive it. This whole package here, which will enable you to just look on there and know exactly where to go with your person or your problem. I think this is a good help to us. The good help is for us as department heads and departments, but it also is a good help to you because you'll be able to save a lot of time instead of running around the bush and going here and hitting and missing. You'll be able to go right to the mark. And if they don't take care of business, you'll be able to hold them accountable because here it'll tell you just what they are to do, you see? So I think you'll be able to make more progress. Now we are moving on. I got 33 minutes to go. All right, so here, we'll start now with the BAP unit. The BAP unit, for those who are new here, BAP, B-A-P-P, B period, A period, C period, T period, and we call it BAP, is the Blight Arrest Pioneer Patrol Unit. Blight Arrest Pioneer Patrol Unit. We have read materials at the earlier meeting on this subject describing to you or defining for you what this unit is all about. So I won't have time to go into that today, but we will briefly deal with some problem person and then go on to try to begin our nominating procedures here. As you know, in the first resurrection, we had a department we called the Department of Investigation. Now, this Department of Investigation would keep records on individual members of the mob and would also keep records on officials and activities of the mob. It was an investigating department. And when we said investigation, it was investigation in the government sense. The FBI, Secret Service, investigators, right? A Federal Bureau of Investigation. Well, what we had here was similar. They would investigate, and many times they would snoop. Sophisticated as the FBI department is, didn't have all those electronic devices, but we had began to even bring in and list some electronic devices too, you see. In fact, I don't know, maybe one day I had one of those electronic units on my house or near it or something, you know, I don't know. The department might have had me wired up. And if they did, I know I contributed to their understanding and to their growth. Doctors to examine such persons periodically to see if they are not not being infected by the diseases that they're getting into. So since we don't, we are not set up for that, we shouldn't have it. Doesn't mean that we are not going to investigate. We will investigate when there is a need to investigate. When a need makes itself known, then we'll investigate. But having somebody to go around and search out the unknown, we won't be doing it. Convinced that what we're doing here is acceptable and in agreement are many other qualified judges in Islam. In Egypt, in Arabia, in Pakistan, in many places of the world. Not saying that they all are qualified to come into our lives and tell us what we should do or what we shouldn't do. But if they get a majority against us, that's a clear indication that we have gone wrong. So I'm speaking directly to the ministers now, the mosque and their heads. Though you are going to be given more and more freedom to run your mosque, be responsible for charity, we don't want no central control of charity. We want people to give freely from their heart. And we want ministers to respect those contributions and to do what he knows is proper to do with those contributions. All right, so more and more control you'll be getting. But you will never be free of legal obligation to Chicago. Why? Because the Nation of Islam was established by the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad. And the office is here in Chicago. And I succeeded him in that office. So we are responsible for protecting the image of Islam under our leadership. And any minister who fails to meet up with what we expect, to meet what we expect of him, and the way of propagating Islam, we have the legal force, the legal power to bring that man into court and say he's preaching Islam in the name of our Nation of Islam in the West. And he's not preaching what we have approved. He's not representing us. So we can take him to court and have him put out of that mosque, have his credentials taken away from him, and send him on out there to do it on his own. Now, I believe that's the law. Is that not the law? All right, that's the law. So don't think we're trusting you just on faith, brother. There are other commitments, too. You're committed legally, you're committed morally, and you know your pledge that you make to the Nation of Islam, that you're going to serve and uphold the principles, the moral standards, the teachings of Islam, as those things are propagated by this office here, the office of the chief minister. These units will be patrol units, patrolling property, going around inspecting property, reporting dangerous hazards in the community, or hazards that are created by neglect of property. They'll be reporting destructive elements in the community, human or otherwise. They'll be reporting these things. And if an old lady is being whipped, or a purse is being snatched, we will expect them to use the power of citizen's arrest and do whatever they can to protect that old lady. Now, we don't want them protecting no young lady, because we know that's trouble. But if she's a retired citizen, 65 or over, we appreciate it if you would protect her against young, crazy, violent men and women. But if she's under 65, then you are moving on your own. You just act at your own risk, because you have no go-ahead from us to check young women, men, young men. But any senior citizen, 65 and older, if someone is mistreating them, cruelly treating them out there, we would appreciate it if you would risk your own person and rescue that elderly person. We can begin by trying to protect, make our streets safe for the elderly citizens. Then after we have proven that we can do that honorably, maybe the chief minister and the state of Islam and the general community, the public service department, will endorse you taking on a little more responsibility as a citizen with power to perform citizen arrest, you see? But that's as far as your citizen arrest will go right now. Let's see. Now, all of these activities in the community, department. And the one endorsement that we will have to have is the police department's endorsement. It's impossible for us to operate in the public just watching and protecting our own property and protecting and watching for our own people. I mean, members of the mob. It's impossible for us to do that and be successful if we don't have the endorsement approval of the police department. Why? Because there's always a chance, brother, that some Muslim who never really became a real Muslim in their mind, that they might just all of a sudden turn on us. Look, nigga, you don't give me no citation. Or you don't tell me what I should do and what I should do. Or what in the hell are you writing up there? You see? Then we get into it and have a physical class here. If the police department wasn't consulted, then they hear it. Well, naturally, their position is going to be a kind of a resentful one. Is that right? They're going to say, well, these people didn't respect us. Let them take care of their own affairs. You see? Or they might take the side of a guilty party just to get even with us for our ignoring them and their authority in the city. So when we do things right, we protect ourselves. We protect our interests. And we have brothers here who belong to the police department, not that many. But we've been lucky enough, I would say, effective enough, to convert a couple of members of the police department. We have two brothers here, I'm sure, who are members of the police department. And we know that just as they are honorable, decent, trustworthy officers, there are many others in the police department who are the same. So the first thing you need is the endorsement of the police department. You can give me the endorsement of the police department, then we can discuss further steps to establish these units in your city. Money now, what about money? The money to pay for these services. Before, we were paying officers to look out for the peace and order of the community. These officers were called captains, lieutenants, and their officers. Is that right? All right. Right now, we are still paying ex-captains, ex-lieutenants, and ex-officers because they have not left the post. They still volunteer their time. They still accept, not volunteer their time. Some of them volunteer, too, and they spend extra time. But they still accept to look out after the interests of the Nation of Islam since they do it under the leadership, under the authority, supervision of the ministry. We have retained them and have not taken them off the payroll. Now, we don't need to add people to the payroll. We already have people. If any of these people are not qualified, then remove them from the payroll. But that salary that is already there will help take care of and will take care of the next person. Is that right? So we don't need any additional money. If spending additional money is required to put these units in operation, then I say we are not ready to put these units in operation. But if we can do it with the same money we are operating with right now, in the area of security consultant work and whatnot, then I say let's go on with the unit. In fact, we should look very closely at reducing the amount of pay that we're giving to individuals who are performing these services. And I explain why I'm saying this. We want people who are sincere. We want people who are dedicated to the service and not just there to earn a dollar. We want people who will volunteer 4 hours, who will give us 4 hours, and make their livelihood somewhere else, on some job. You understand? This is what we want. Now there are persons who can't because of labels that have been put on them, maybe because of their own ignorance. Some of wrong here, that we just refuse to work. We don't establish no good work record, and it's hard as a dickens to get a decent job. Is that right? Then we have persons who go to prison, and they return to society, and they have a label stigma on them, ex-convict. And they have a hell of a time starting in prison, trying to get a decent job. Okay, well, any one who fits in such category, they deserve charity. Now, there's charity that is honorable and charity that is dishonorable. A charity that is dignified and charity that affords the man no dignity. Is that right? If we pay a man for services rendered that are valuable to the community, that kind of charity is better than faith in equal balance. Is that right? And it gives that man a sense of dignity, greater than any sense of dignity he would get working on some other city job or non-community service job that wouldn't allow him such dignity. Is that right? All right. So this program is also part of our rehabilitation program. The institutions, the penal institutions, they're crying to the Nation of Islam. See, we see that you have very effective programs for rehabilitating people in the community. We think that these programs will work for convicts too. And you know, you've read in the paper where we've visited prisons. My visit was not to start anything. My visit to the prison was to see the successful work of people who were converted to Islam in prison. That's what my visit was for, and the support that they have received from ministers, Minister Shamsuddin, before him in Philadelphia. What was his name? Minister Jeremiah Sabah. These ministers and many others, and even here, Minister Shah, you see minister here? Minister James and many others have been working with the institutions, and believe me, they've done great work. This work is a kind of follow-up, you know, on the work that Honorable Elijah Muhammad did himself in the prison. See, don't forget that he spent 5 years in prison, and he wasn't no crazy nut there. He wasn't no religious fanatic there. Saying, the devil must die. The devil must die. Yakub must go, you know. No. All he was in there acting as a civilized human being. And he won respect. He won respect from the Islam, you see, and we have followed up that work that he did in gaining respect for us, and the ministers have done a wonderful work, and the inmates themselves have done a much greater work than any of us, I'm telling you. There are some inmates, you should see it, you wouldn't believe it. They have prayer in jail, they have Jumu'ah prayers in jail, they have Islamic teachings in jail, they have their own projects in jail. They almost run the institutions. Right? Man, they almost run in some of these institutions. And I mean running them successfully. They have greatly reduced the incidence of murder and rape in the institution. Do you know, I hate to take up your time like this, but do you know some of these jails and institutions had gotten so corrupt, had become so out of order, so far out of order, that really it wasn't fair for a judge to sentence a man to such institutions? Look, sentencing me for my crime means confining me. It doesn't mean raping me. It doesn't mean whipping me every night. Or someone would go in jail and these crazy brute savages in there would beat on them every day, kill them sometimes, reach them in. This is what was going on. Women were being raped too. By women. Thanks to Allah, Islam, Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad, and the new resurrection, that this has been greatly reduced. I met Commissioner Robinson, I believe his name is, Is it Commissioner Robinson over the Philadelphia prison? Commissioner Robinson. I met him there at Radford prison. And the respect that he showed to me and the Nation of Islam made me feel certain that whatever the Nation of Islam want to do to better conditions in these institutions that are under this commissioner and to improve conditions in our community by helping the effort to rehabilitate criminals, we can do it. He opened his door. In fact, he greeted me as a Muslim. He says, As-salamu alaykum. He says, wa-alaykum salam. And he doesn't say it like he rehearsed it. He says it like he means it. This is a Caucasian commissioner of the prison. So we're making success. And if you all just come out of those bean soup eating, black coffee drinking, black bread eating, old, out of date, dark, impossible to understand, Yahoo teaching, I'm telling you, we will really get paid. I believe, right. Because if we have 3 times 20,